God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today's message, A Journey from the Bottom to the Top. As we study the Word together, Dr. Don wants you to know we're here to pray with you as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
In Daniel chapter 7, the prophetic section of the book of Daniel is very detailed. And as I told you, I'm not going to try and rush through this. But last week we finished off in essence at verse 6 of Daniel chapter 7. And I want to read to you from verse 7 of the book of Daniel chapter 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful, and it had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And then you have a change of scenery from earth to heaven. Verse 9, as I looked, and literally there the Hebrew text is telling us, as I looked up toward heaven, thrones were set in place. And it's interesting to know why that's in the plural. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, singular. Did you notice that? Now, there were many thrones that were in place, but the Ancient of Days took his seat, singular. And then we have a description of the Ancient of Days. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And now our attention shifts again from heaven back to earth. All right, so I want us to all just think of ourselves now. Daniel has been looking up into the heavens, has been spoken to from the heavens, and now he's continuing to be spoken to from the heavens, but his attention is being directed or rerouted, as it were, back to earth again. It's very important here. We've got a kind of we're on earth, and then we look up to the heaven, and then we come back to earth again, and then we're going to go back to heaven again. All right, so in verse 11, we come back to earth again. Then I continued to watch because of the words the horn was speaking. Now, evidently, what was happening here was that Daniel continued to observe the Ancient of Days and the thousands upon thousands that attended him, that were rallied together around his throne, and he continued to watch what taking place. Well, it tells us right there in the end part of verse 10, what was taking place? It seems to me that there's a courtroom scene taking place. The court was seated and the books were open. And while this is going on, running parallel, concurrently with this, there's an irritation going on, as it were, behind Daniel and below heaven. Can you just get the scene? Have you ever gone to talk to someone? And you walk up to that person and you say, "Hello, Bill, how are you doing? I'm so glad to see you." And you talk to one of your best friends, and over here there is something going on, and it just carries on going on. And eventually you say, "Sal, would you just hold on a minute? I'm coming right." "Sal, stand up and down, stand up and down." "Okay, now, Sal and Bill, I just want to tell, this is very important." And there's kind of this irritation going on here in the court. I mean, there's this thing happening all the time, and you concentrate, you are my dear, and over here. And eventually what I do is I say, okay, I'm going to talk to you, Bill. I'm not leaving. I'm going to talk. We're coming back here. Now, what is it? Now, I want you to feel this happening in Scripture, because this is really what was going on here with Daniel. There is what Daniel is describing here, and we have a marvelous parallel track that we're going to read about through the book of Revelation. You must remember that during the tribulation, and perhaps it would be good for me just to remind you of the sequence of events. The Bible says that the first thing that's going to happen is the rapture of the church. All believers, all of those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be snatched up. We're going to be taken up. Now, that could happen tonight. If it happened tonight, every one of us who were believers, we would just, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, just like that, in a flash, you and I will be translated. We will be taken up, and we will be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. That is the rapture of the church. It is not the second coming of our Lord. And we read about that in, amongst other places, of course, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And all of us are going to be taken up like that in a moment, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ to meet Him in the air. And the Bible says, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Now, that means that we will never come back to earth in our natural state again. Now, we are going to come back to earth again. But we, in heaven, we are going to watch what happens on the earth. And what is going on the earth is going to be a 7-year tribulation period, which is divided into 2 equal parts, 3.5 periods each. During the first 3.5 periods, it's going to be a time of unprecedented peace. It's going to witness the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And at the halfway mark, 3.5 years, all of a sudden things are going to change. And this one, the Antichrist, who the Bible calls the little horn, is going to become awfully boastful and proud and arrogant. While up in heaven, God is going to be doing His work as the Ancient of Days. And the work that God will be doing at this point in time as the Ancient of Days is associated with the books. This is going to be the time when we will stand before the judgment seat of God. We will be judged not according to our salvation, but we will be judged according to the works of our salvation, what we have done with our salvation. And so we're going to move right through the 7.5-year period. And all the time that God is doing what God says He's going to do, and we're going to read about it in a moment, there is this continuing irritation going on. There's this kind of thing going on that's almost, you want to get rid of it and you want it out of the way. And what Daniel is describing here is literally watching this most incredibly glorious, unbelievable moment in time where there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And just as a matter of interest, I'm one of those thousands, aren't you? We are going to be standing there. We're going to be surrounding the throne. We are going to be sitting on the thrones of the 12 judges of Israel. We are going to be gathered together around the seat of the Ancient of Days. And what Daniel says is, while all this praise and all this worship and all this adoration is taking place, he continued to watch. Look at verse 11. Because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. Remember, Armageddon has not yet taken place. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has not yet taken place. It is about to take place. God is about to say, Go get him. Draw a line. And Daniel here, literally, this man Daniel, like you and me, standing upon the earth, is moving between heaven and earth, and eventually he finds himself looking up into the heavens and being totally awestruck by what is taking place in the heavens around the throne of the Ancient of Days. And he is almost, if you please, kind of forced to look back to the earth. And what does he see upon the earth? I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. Now, can you feel the kind of strain and the stress coming in here? Listen to this. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. Oh, and just by the way, the other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision, at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. Now that's going to be interesting. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Now friends, you've got to listen now. There are some very important things here. There is something very significant about what God is saying here. And I believe that what Daniel is saying in verse 13 is that he is not looking forward, as it were, if he was talking about our time now. Listen, let me say this to you. It's important. Daniel was writing before Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Had Jesus yet been born in Bethlehem's manger? Anyone? Had Jesus yet ministered upon the earth? Nope. Had Jesus been crucified yet? Nope. Had Jesus risen from the dead yet? Nope. Daniel is looking forward to what? To the death, burial, resurrection, and most importantly, the ascension of Jesus Christ to be seated at the right hand of the Father.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of this great teaching from Dr. Don Wilton on a journey from the bottom to the top in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants us to remind you there are wonderful resources that continue beyond this moment together of Bible study, including the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. If you'd like a hard copy, that's free for the asking if you call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I have many friends that use that in carpool line or at different places. It's stuck in their Bible. It's there available anytime. But I also have friends that love the email. You can receive the email by signing up online right now at tewonline.org. Or if you'd like, just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right. Text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you can sign up for what will be a wonderful, it jumpstarts my quiet time every day, a wonderful email encouragement from Dr. Wilton every single day. Again, text DAILY to 30500 or visit us online at tewonline.org and sign up today. Now back to today's message, A Journey from the Bottom to the Top with Dr. Don Wilton.
What happened to Jesus in Acts chapter 1? What happened to Jesus when he was taken from their sight? We're not going to go back into Acts 1, but the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, he was taken from before them up into the, clouds. The word says it. And if you go to the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1, talking about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ, what about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who has inherited everything that the Father has in store for him, is now exalted at the right hand of the Father, seated at his right hand, at the right hand of the throne, making intercession for you and for me. I'm going to submit to you today that verses 13 and 14 are pointing ahead for Daniel to the ascension of Jesus Christ, the moment at which God the Father, the Ancient of Days, put his seal of authority on the Son and said to him quite literally, "You are the one who has the power and the dominion and the glory forever and forever. Amen." Now, let's not confuse these things. So, verse 9, we've got God in heaven at the beginning of the tribulation period because of those that are around the throne, and I'm going to show you the evidence of that. That's you and me. That can only happen after the rapture of the church. In verse 11, he goes back to earth and he observes the activities of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the very antithesis of the holiness of God. In verse 13, we find a confirmation of the person of Jesus Christ, who is the exalted one, having been seated at the right hand of the Father, and to whom God's word says in verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel, in this prophecy, I believe under the inspiration of God by his Spirit, gets up to verse, end of verse 12, and it's almost as though God says, "Daniel, I want you to just remind the people about who my son is. I just want you to remind everybody about where the focus needs to be." All right, let's look at this closely together, if we possibly can. Four beasts, we've looked at them. I don't want to be tedious over this matter. The first beast, the lion, symbolizing Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, we've looked at that. The second beast, the bear, we talked about the Medo-Persian Empire in chapter 7 and verse 5, how the Persians took dominance over the Medes. That's why the bear raised up on one of its sides, the three ribs in its mouth, the ribs of Leiden and Babylon and Egypt, the three major cities of Babylon that were destroyed by the Medes. The third beast in verse 6, the leopard, none other than the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. The picture that we have here of rapid movement. Also, the picture that we have very clearly of the four wings, and the beast had four heads. It fits so completely into Alexander's four generals who took over when he died at a very young age in 323, and how that the empire, the Grecian Empire, lasted for about 150 years. And then in verse 7, we move into the future. From verses 1 through verse 6, we're in the past. These things have already happened. In verse 7, we move into the future. And that's where we pick up here today. We move into the future because the Bible here talks about the fourth beast. We know this about the fourth beast, that the fourth beast was terrifying. He was frightening. He was very powerful. And he had large iron teeth. Now, just keep your finger there and just flip back to chapter 2 very quickly with me, where Daniel is interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And remember the statue. I draw you to verse 40, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. Finally, did you notice that word there? Finally. What does finally mean? Well, I know in most preachers' vocabulary, it means absolutely nothing. My staff tell me. They say to me their favorite statement I make is finally and conclusively, which means doubly that I'm not ready to finish yet. But here in Scripture, finally means this is it. There is nothing else. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as what? I now just flip over to chapter 7 and verse 7. Don't lose chapter 2 yet. I want you to just flip backward and forward, okay? Chapter 7 and verse 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth. In chapter 2, the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Now go to chapter 7 and verse 7. There before me was a fourth beast, terrifying, frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot everything that was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Now I want you to turn with me. Don't lose Daniel chapter 7, whatever you do. But we must just turn back to the book of Revelation. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Let's get to the end of the story, shall we? Let's just jump over and see what happens at the end of the book before we've got there. I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 13 and probably the first 8 verses. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw beast coming out of the sea. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7 quickly. And I want you to look at verse 3. 4 great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. Now remember that John on the island of Patmos was writing literally hundreds upon hundreds of years after Daniel. There was no connection between the two except the Spirit of God, who has no time lapse. He's eternal. If you want to talk about the veracity of Scripture, here's another salient argument right there. Now go back to Daniel chapter 13, but keep your finger in Daniel chapter 7. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. It seems to me we're going backwards here in history, doesn't it? Well, this beast that is seen is a combination of all of the worst parts of the whole history of mankind. And here John the Apostle is looking back, and he's seeing this beast that not only resembles the Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, but also the Babylonian Empire. And the dragon gave to this beast his power and his throne, and also gave to him great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished. And what did they do? They followed the beast. Who followed the beast? The whole world followed the beast. This beast had great power. Men worshiped the dragon because he had been given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast and who can make war against him? You see, this was a warlike beast. He had authority, he had power, he was ruthless. Now look at verse 5. Not only that, but the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for how long? 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who are alive in heaven. Now, just hold on a minute there. Anyone here ever wondered if we're going to be alive in heaven or not? What God's word says about heaven is remarkable. And not only that, but Armageddon has not yet taken place. And in fact, we're talking about moving through the tribulation period, we have yet another confirmation concerning the rapture of the church, which I believe is going to take place prior to the tribulation period. Why? Because God's word says that the beast who is upon the earth is going to be conscious of those who are alive in heaven.
When we hear those words, perhaps it stirs up great memories. I have decided to follow Jesus. But perhaps it's a new concept in your heart. It's one thing to know the words to the song. It's another thing to actually follow Jesus. I spent a long time, many years in the church, knowing the right things to say, but not knowing Jesus. Perhaps you need to talk with someone about what it is to say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord today. Our phone number is 866-899-9673, and we'd love to talk with you about it. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don Wilton would love to talk with you about it.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord spoken to you, I pray you would not let this moment pass without sharing that with someone else. And if you'd like, we'd love for us to be that encourager to you. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or click through if you're listening online to tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We'd love to spend some time keyboard to keyboard with you, encouraging you, putting some free resources in your hands that Dr. Don has prepared just for you. Just contact us. We'd love to get connected. And now before we get away, an exciting opportunity to connect with a book called Jesus in Me.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus in Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus in Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus in Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
The Daily Encouraging Word devotional book has meant so much to me. Please let it continue. I am now requesting that the word be sent to two of my grandchildren. I feel strongly that both of these young people can profit through using the daily devotional. Perhaps your devotions can give them encouragement and help them understand that God cares.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. And join us again tomorrow for more great Bible-based teaching from Dr. Don Wilton.